Are you just going to bounce around like a cricket, demon slayer? It challenged, coming at me again, the iron club leaving holes in the rock every time it landed. Or are you actually going to fight me? I bared my teeth. As the Tetsubo descended once more, I darted forward between Yaburama's tree-like limbs and slashed the back of his leg. The Oni snarled and spun around, crushing the ground with his club as I leaped back. At the same time, the human noble, cutting his way through several Amanjaku, sprinted behind the Oni and sliced through the back of his other leg. Yaburama howled. Whirling, he lashed out with a kick, barely missing the human as he darted past, sending more Amanjaku flying. The wounds to his legs didn't appear to slow him down as he leaped into the air, landing between us with a crash that made the ground tremble like an earthquake. I kept my balance, but the noble staggered, falling to one knee, and the Oni raised his club to smear him across the stones. An arrow sped through the air, striking the monster in the forehead, causing him to rear back with a snarl. I spared a quick glance over and saw that the Ronin had climbed to the top of the watchtower by the gate. He sent another dart at the grimacing Oni, who snorted and raised his arm, letting it hit him in the shoulder. In that moment of distraction, I whispered a quick incantation and lunged, a shadow Tatsumi appearing to join me. Yaburama saw us coming at the last moment and swung his club at the wrong one. I dodged beneath his legs, vaulted off a knee, and as I rose toward his face, sliced Kamigoroshi across his neck, cutting open his throat. Dark, steaming blood sprayed from the opening beneath the Oni's chin. Instinctively, I threw up my arm to shield my face, but it still burned through my clothes, searing like liquid fire as it reached my skin. Hitting the ground, I staggered back, clenching my jaw against the pain, waiting for the Oni to fall. Almost too easy. Yaburama started to laugh. His voice rang out over the courtyard, deep and mocking. Is that it? The Oni sneered, yanking the arrow from his face, not seeming to notice the second in his arm. Is that the best you humans can do? Do you think you can defeat one of the demon generals of Jigoku so easily? He laughed again, shaking his horned head, then turned and picked up a chunk of wall taller than a man, hefting it in one claw. Eyes glowing, he smiled down at us. Let me show you how very mistaken you are. The noble and I tensed, ready to leap aside, but Yaburama straightened, drew his arm back, and hurled the boulder across the yard. It spun end over end and smashed into the base of the watchtower, snapping the legs and causing the structure to collapse with a roar and a cloud of dust. Okame-san! Cried the noble, as the Oni bellowed in triumph, raising his club in the air, and the Amanjaku cackled. As the watchtower remains settled over the likely dead Ronin, Yaburama turned, eyes glowing as he glared down at us. This bores me, he growled. I grow weary of fighting insignificant humans. Amanjaku, he roared, raising his head. Kill the human noble, flay him. Eat him, wear his skin for a coat, I care not, but get him out of my way. I wish to fight the demon slayer in peace. The minor demons shrieked with excitement and lunged forward, surrounding the noble like ants swarming a grasshopper. The closest demons perished instantly as the former Oni no Mikoto cut them down, his blade moving so fast it was nearly a blur. But there were dozens of Amanjaku, a seemingly endless horde, and their numbers began to push him back. I started forward, intending to thin the swarm a bit, when the Oni's huge Tetsubo smashed into the ground between us. Where do you think you're going, demon slayer? Yaburama rumbled, putting himself between me and the Amanjaku swarm. The fight is here, or should I remind you? He swung the Tetsubo at me with savage force. I dodged as the club crashed into the stones and cut at the hand that held the weapon, severing a clawed finger. Yaburama snorted in annoyance and instead of pulling back, raked the weapon across the ground. I managed to leap aside, but but the unexpected move set me off balance, and the second sweep caught me in the shoulder. Pain exploded through my body as I was hurled through the air and struck the ground several yards away, then rolled to a painful stop. Kamigoroshi was torn from my grasp and went skidding over the stones in the opposite direction. Dazed, I struggled to rise, but the ground trembled, and a clawed foot landed on my chest, shoving me back to the stones. The air whooshed from my body, and my ribs bent and threatened to snap as the huge oni peered down at me, smiling.
"A disgraceful way to die, Demon Slayer,"
Yaburama mused, as I gritted my teeth in an effort not to gasp for air. Inside, something was building, a rising flood of desperation, rage, and hate.
"Smashed underfoot like a cockroach, nothing but a smear on the bottom of my toe. How embarrassingly shameful,"
he chuckled and leaned his full weight against my chest. Bones snapped in blinding bursts of agony, and I couldn't help the howl of pain that emerged from my throat.
"But do not worry,"
the oni went on as I gasped in agony.
"This will be over soon, and once I kill you, I'm going to tear apart your friends as well. That little human girl looks especially tasty. I'm going to pull off her head, twist her around so that her insides turn to mush, and eat her like a peach."
Yumeko. Rational thought disappeared. Something deep inside me snapped, and a flood of darkness rushed in with a howl. I felt a brief stab of terror and despair, and then nothing.
"Does it hurt, Demon Slayer?"
Yaburama lowered his arm, bringing the end of the tetsubo very close to my face.
"I'll make you a deal. Beg for mercy, and I'll crush your skull instead of stomping on you like an insect. So, what do you say to that? Ready to beg?"
"Beg?" I looked up, meeting the oni's gaze, and smiled. "I have a better idea. How about I send you to Jigoku in pieces?" Yaburama bared his fangs.
"You first."
He raised his foot and stomped down hard, and the world disappeared like a snuffed candle. 34. The Destroyer.
"I'm free."
I raised my arms as Yaburama's foot smashed down at my head, catching the disgusting appendage with both hands. I heard the oni's grunt of surprise, felt him press down harder, trying to crush me into the ground, thinking I was still that weakling mortal.
"You always were a fool, Yaburama."
Sitting up, I threw him off, shoving him back and rising to my feet. Yaburama stumbled backward several paces before catching himself, gazing down at me in shock. I grinned, feeling the air on my skin, seeing the world through my own eyes, and not the weak, pathetic eyes of my human host. I breathed deep and let the scent of blood, violence, and death fill my lungs before glancing at the oni towering overhead.
"What's the matter, Yaburama? Expecting someone else?"
He bellowed a laugh, shaking his horned head.
"You've finally come,"
he rumbled, striding forward.
"I thought I was going to stomp your host into bean paste before he lost control,"
he chuckled, narrowing crimson eyes at me.
"How long has it been, Hakaimono?"
"Too long. Over 400 years. Yaburama snorted, then crouched down to gaze at me at eye level.
"You're a bit smaller than I remembered."
I smirked, seeing my reflection in the oni's crimson gaze. Human-sized, because I shared this pathetic body with my host, and Kage Tatsumi was even smaller than the average human male. At least, I still recognized myself. After 400 years of being a formless voice trapped in a blade, it was good to see a real body again. Onyx skin, white mane, horns, claws, fangs. I'd almost forgotten what I looked like. But that wasn't important. I was free. I was finally out, and there was a whole country to take my revenge on. So much destruction to cause, lives to take, and blood to spill. It was going to be beautiful. Let's see if the fools could drive me back into the sword this time. But first... Yaburama was still crouched at eye level, a mocking grin twisting his mouth. I clenched my right hand into a fist, drew it back, and punched the oni square in his smirking jaw. He flew backward, his feet leaving the ground for a moment, before he crashed into the stones with a boom that made the earth shake. I laughed, feeling the power racing through my muscles, my old strength returning to me. Not completely whole yet, but soon. "Did you forget who you were speaking to, Yaburama?" I called, as the oni struggled upright, looking dazed. Flinging out a hand, I opened my fingers, and Kamigoroshi flew across the stones into my palm. "Did you forget that I commanded the four generals? That the strongest demons ever spawned in Jigoku feared me for a reason?" "Damn you!" Yaburama growled, rising to his feet. Blood streamed down his chin from his lips, and he wiped it away with the back of his hand. "Those days are gone, Hakaimono. You've been away for too long. There's a war coming, and a new master of demons who will lead the land into chaos and destruction." He raised his tetsubo, baring bloody fangs in a snarl. "Too bad you won't get to see it." He lunged at me with a roar, swinging the tetsubo in a savage arc. I stepped back from the first blow, ducked under the second, and then, as the weapon came straight down at my head, braced myself and threw up my empty hand, catching the end of the club in my palm. Yaburama's eyes bulged. He strained against the club, trying to drive it down into my skull, but neither I nor the tetsubo moved. I smiled at him from the shadow of the weapon and curled my claws into the wood.
"I am Hakaimono the Destroyer!"
I growled up at him.
"The strongest demon Jigoku has ever known, and soon this entire realm will remember why."
Shoving the tetsubo away, I leaped into the air as Yaburama staggered back, flailing and off balance. As he caught himself, swinging his club once more with an angry snarl, I brought Kamigoroshi flashing down. The blade struck the oni's forearm, shearing through flesh and muscles and bone, continuing out the other side. The tetsubo and part of Yaburama's arm struck the stones with a thud, and Yaburama's snarl turned into a howl of pain. Hitting the ground, I spun and darted back toward the reeling oni. Maddened with pain and rage, bloody arm stump dripping steaming puddles over the ground, Yaburama roared and swung at me with his other claw. I ducked, rolled beneath it, and sliced his leg as I went by. The oni staggered, swayed like an oak in a storm, then toppled over, his body falling one way while his severed knee remained where it was. He hit the ground on his back and lay there a moment, gasping, blood pumping from the stumps of his limbs and spreading over the stones. Smiling, I walked casually up to the panting oni and leaped to his chest, pointing the bloody sword in his face.
"Well, this was fun," I said calmly. "Nothing like a good old-fashioned massacre to get the blood pumping. Tatsumi never had it in him for savagery." "Oh, I'm sorry. You were saying something, weren't you? Something about letting me rot in that cursed blade for another 4 centuries? "Damn you, Hakaimono," Yaburama rasped. "You've been stuck in Kamigoroshi for too long. You don't know what's been happening the past few centuries."
Smiling, I raised the sword over my head.
"I'm sure I'll figure it out."
Yaburama snarled and tried to rise. I brought Kamigoroshi down in a flash of steel, slicing through the burly neck, being sure to sever it from his body this time. The oni's head toppled backward and rolled several feet before coming to a stop, his jaw clenched in rage. Throwing back my head, I filled my lungs and let out a roar of triumph, hearing my voice boom into the air and echo over the castle peaks. Free! There was so much to do, so many lives to take, so much destruction and fear and chaos and death to wreak upon this pathetic realm. I was back, and this world would pay dearly for the centuries I was sealed away. A gasp came from the castle entrance, and I smiled. Turning on Yabrama's chest, I spotted the girl at the top of the stairs, the shrine maiden, a pair of dogs, and an old human priest behind her.
35. The Demon of the Blade.
Jinkei, preserve us, I heard Reika whisper behind me, in a voice that sent a chill racing up my back. I couldn't answer, staring at the center of the courtyard, at the figure outlined in moonlight, at the jet-black skin and wild mane of white hair, at the horns, fangs, and claws, at the demon that still had Tatsumi's face. Tatsumi, or the thing he had become, turned atop the smoking corpse of the headless Yabrama, Kamigoroshi blazing in his hand, the blade shining red with blood. The Oni's head lay several feet from the body, also letting off coils of smoke as it disappeared, vanishing back to Jigoku. I should have been happy to see Yabrama dead. The Oni that had destroyed the Silent Winds Temple and killed everyone there was lying headless in the center of the courtyard. I should have felt vindication, or at least some form of relief. But right then, gazing at the figure standing atop the corpse, all I felt was terror. Because the Oni that had replaced Yabrama, who smiled at me from Tatsumi's body, was 100 times more frightening.
Ah, there you are, Yumeko-chan.
I jumped at the voice, at the sound of my name coming from the demon's mouth.
I was wondering when you'd show up.
He leaped into the air, so high it almost looked like he was flying, before descending toward us. Chu snarled and erupted into his real form, muscles tensing to lunge at the Oni, but Master Jiro's voice cracked into the air.
Chu, no. He's far too powerful. Everyone, stay close.
As Tatsumi landed at the edge of the steps with a crash, the priest pulled out a tattered ofuda, the kanji for protection from evil written down the slip. Holding it in two fingers, he brought it to his face and closed his eyes as the demon grinned and began sauntering up the steps, leaving a trail of blood spatters behind him. A domed barrier flickered to life, glimmering a faint, almost invisible blue-white in the darkness, encompassing me, Reika, Master Jiro, and the two dogs. Chu had quickly shrunk back to his smaller form, but it was still a tight fit. I could see Master Jiro trembling as he concentrated, beads of sweat forming on his brow, as the terrifying form of Tatsumi climbed the steps and stood a few feet away, smiling at us through the barrier.
Oh, now you didn't need to do that, he said in a voice that was a deeper, chilling version of Tatsumi's. I just wanted to have a few words with Yumeko-chan here.
His cold, red eyes met mine through the wall of magic, and he chuckled.
So, you're nothing but a shifty fox masquerading as a human, he mused. A weak little half-breed. No wonder I couldn't sense what you really were. How deceitful. What other lies have you told Tatsumi, I wonder?
I trembled, but forced myself to meet the monster's terrible gaze. Where is he?
Tatsumi? Oh, he's still in here, somewhere.
The demon tapped his head with a curved black claw.
I imagine he can see and hear everything that's going on, just like I could. He's not strong enough to force me out once I've taken over, though. No human has been.
His smirk widened as he regarded me.
I did want to thank you personally, little fox, he said. After all, it's because of you that I'm here.
A cold chill went through my stomach. What do you mean? I whispered.
Well, normally, I can't get through Tatsumi's wall. He keeps himself and his emotions tightly guarded and doesn't give me any footholds into his mind. But with you around, he's been slipping more and more each day. You distract him, make him feel things, make him question who he is and what he wants, and that's all the invitation I needed. His last thought tonight, before finally losing himself, was of you.
I sank to my knees on the stones, horror and anguish weighing me down as surely as the heavy robes. No, I thought in despair. Tatsumi, you can't be gone because of me. The demon crouched down, balanced on the balls of his feet, so that we were face to face.
If it makes you feel better, he said in a mock whisper. He can hear every word we say, but he can't do anything about it. And I must tell you, after being trapped in his mind for so long, his pain and despair is a beautiful sensation. Oh, and do you want to know something else?
He bent close, lowering his voice even further.
He was actually starting to trust you, little fox, he whispered. Tatsumi never trusted anyone in his life. His clan punished any attachments or weaknesses.
His hand rose, pointed a curved black claw at my forehead.
But he was starting to trust you, a kitsune who lied to him, who has been deceiving him from the very beginning. And now he sees exactly what you are and how you betrayed him.
I shut my eyes as my throat threatened to close up. Let him go, I whispered, feeling the Oni's cruel, amused gaze through the barrier.
Sorry?
The Oni's voice was mocking.
What was that?
Opening my eyes, I looked up, meeting the demon's crimson stare. Release him, I said, and my voice didn't tremble this time. Return to the sword, or you'll see exactly what a kitsune can do. The demon laughed. He rose, towering over me, his fangs shining a terrible crescent moon grin as he stepped back.
You're entertaining, little fox, he told me, which is why I'm going to let you live a while longer. Don't worry, though. I'll kill you and everyone you care about soon enough. When you're not expecting it, someone close to you is going to die. The Ronin, the noble, the priest, the shrine maiden, and the two puppies. I'm going to kill you all, and Tatsumi will be forced to watch as I rip the limbs from your body one by one. This is his punishment, too, for keeping me trapped in his stubborn head all this time.
His eyes glittered, and for a moment I saw unbridled rage and loathing deep in their depths, making my blood chill.
So fear not. When we meet again, I promise I'll make your death slow and painful.
Leaning forward, he deliberately stretched out a hand and placed it on the barrier, which snapped and sputtered, flickering erratically at his touch. Smoke rose from his clawed fingers, coiling into the air, but it didn't seem to bother him. Smiling, Demon Tatsumi bent close, dropping his voice to a rough whisper.
If you think you can stop me, Yumeko-chan, I encourage you to try your best. The game has just begun.
Stepping back, he crouched and then leaped into the air, soaring onto the roof of the castle. Another leap took him even higher, a black shadow drawing farther and farther away. For a moment, he paused on the highest tower, a horned figure silhouetted against the moon, his wild mane billowing behind him, before he dropped to the other side of the castle and was gone. After a few minutes of searching, we found our missing companions. The Ronin lay buried under the collapsed watchtower, pinned by beams but struggling weakly to free himself. Miraculously, despite a large purple bruise on his forehead and several gashes across his arms and legs, he didn't seem seriously hurt.
"You have the luck of the kami themselves," Reika muttered, sounding reluctantly impressed as she wrapped strips of cloth around his many cuts. "That, or your head is harder than a cannonball."
"Ha! My hard head is infamous," Okame said proudly, tapping his knuckles against his skull. "Nothing gets through this, all right."
"I'm not sure you should be boasting about that."
Taiyo Daisuke was another matter. After scouring the battlefield, Chu finally led us to an isolated corner of the courtyard. The noble knelt on the stones in a pool of blood, his head down and his chin resting on his chest. He was surrounded by broken weapons and pieces of armor and still clutched his sword tightly in one hand. A ghostly figure stood beside him, a girl in simple robes, her hair tied behind her. Raising her hand, she touched the side of his face, a wistful smile crossing her lips, before she shivered into nothingness. A glowing white sphere, the light that had led us to Master Jiro, rose from where she had been and drifted away over the wall.
"Daisuke-san,"
I sniffed as Chu approached the fallen noble, ears pricked in hopeful anticipation.
"Can you hear me? Are you still alive?"
The body of the samurai didn't move. I swallowed the tightness in my throat and was about to turn back to find the others when Chu whined and shoved his nose under the noble's empty hand. Shakily, it rose as if attached to a string to pat the dog between the ears. I gasped and the samurai lifted his head, squinting against the dark.
"Yumeko-san,"
he murmured as I released a shaky breath.
"You're all right. Did you find Master Jiro?"
I nodded mutely and he relaxed.
"Yokatta,"
he whispered, an expression of relief.
"But what about the demon? Where is Kage-san?"
The weight in my chest got bigger. "Gone," I said quietly. "Yaburama is dead, but Tatsumi isn't here anymore."
"Then I failed."
The noble bowed his head.
"I couldn't protect him."
"No," I told him, and the noble looked up sharply. "He's not dead, Daisuke-san. Yaburama couldn't beat him. That's not what we have to worry about now. Tatsumi is a demon, one even worse than Yaburama, and it's my fault."
"Forgive me, Yumeko-san,"
Daisuke said, still squinting up at me.
"I have either taken a blow to the head or am hallucinating from blood loss, but are those, forgive my rudeness, ears?"
"Yes, she's Kitsune," came an exasperated female voice, and Reika walked around to my side, a bandaged ronin close behind her. "She's been Kitsune the entire time you've known her, both of you. This is nothing new, and right now we have larger issues to worry about. Taiyo-san,
She gazed at Daisuke, her face softening a bit in sympathy. We'll need to dress your wounds. Can you stand? Daisuke, still staring at my ears, nodded painfully, then winced.
Give me but a moment.
Abruptly, Okame stepped forward, lifting the noble's arm around his shoulders and pulled him upright. Daisuke clenched his jaw, gritting his teeth in pain, and the ronin braced himself until the noble had gotten his feet.
Okame-san,
he muttered when he had gotten his balance, still leaning against the ronin.
I am pleased to see you unharmed. Forgive my weakness. I am ashamed that I could not help you or Tatsumi-san.
The ronin snorted.
I didn't see much after that bastard Oni collapsed the tower,
he replied.
But it looks to me that you cut down the entire horde of ankle biters on your own. I don't know how you managed it, but that doesn't sound like a weakling to me.
The noble gave a faint smile.
Arigatou gozaimasu.
Okame sighed, glancing up at me and the shrine maiden.
So,
he said with forced cheerfulness,
Yumeko-chan is a kitsune. The priest is saved, and apparently Kage-san went insane, carved the oni into little pieces, and took off. Big night. Anything I'm missing?
Lady Satomi, Reika said. Let's not forget her. We still have no idea where she is or what she's doing. Certainly she lured us here to kill us, but now that we found Master Jiro, she will likely strike again. We need to find a way out of here quickly.
Agreed,
said a new voice. Master Jiro's as he stepped over rubble piles and bits of armor. Ko was at his side, and the head priest looked grave as he joined us.
There is no time. We must.
His legs trembled and he nearly fell, causing Reika to grab his arm. I snatched a wooden bucket from the dirt and placed it upside down in front of him, and the priest lowered himself onto it with a groan. For a moment, he sat there, breathing hard, then lifted his head.
Time is now against us.
Master Jiro panted, gazing around at us all, though his gaze lingered on me.
Kitsune.
He paused.
Yumeko-san. Do you have the dragon scroll?
I nodded, feeling numb inside and out. Yes, Master Jiro. His eyes narrowed.
You must take it to the Steel Feather Temple. The monks there will protect it. Nothing else matters but getting the scroll to the temple. Do you understand? The dragon cannot be summoned into this world again. Reika-chan,
he continued, making the shrine maiden straighten.
We will go with her, protect her, on the journey. We must not let the scroll fall into the hands of evil like Lady Satomi.
Yes, Master Jiro, the shrine maiden bowed. I understand.
Hey, don't forget about us,
the ronin broke in.
I've come this far, fought demons and blood mages, and just got my ass kicked by an oni. I feel I've earned the right to continue with Yumeko-chan, at least until we get to this steel bird temple or wherever she's going.
Indeed.
Daisuke's voice was tight with pain but resolved.
I, too, will accompany Yumeko-san. To make up for my failure in protecting Kage-san, my blade will be at her side until my debt is paid. This I swear.
I will take the scroll to the temple, I told the priest. I've already promised to do so, but...
My throat tightened, and I took a deep breath to open it.
Tatsumi, I whispered. Can we save him? Can the demon be driven out?
Master Jiro bowed his head.
To answer that question,
he began,
you must know who you are dealing with, and the bloody history that is tied to it.
He glanced at Daisuke, still leaning against the ronin, and his mouth thinned.
Tayo-san's wounds must be addressed,
he stated.
And Lady Satomi could still be about, not to mention Hakaimono. We must flee. But when we are safe, I will tell you the story of the Shadow Clan, the Dragon's Prayer, a woman named Lady Hansho, and the cursed sword named Kamigoroshi that is tied to them all.
Epilogue. In the golden palace of the Emperor, all was quiet. The moon viewing party had gone splendidly, and everyone had returned to their rooms with a sense of satisfaction. Or at least in the pleasant haze of alcohol. The Emperor, especially, slept soundly on his futon in a sake-induced torpor, his sleep free of dreams and the nightmares that had plagued him of late. In the lavishly furnished apartments of the royal wing, in a bedroom cloaked in shadow, a full-length mirror shimmered, and the smiling form of Lady Satomi stepped through the glass. Brushing imaginary dirt from her robes, she sauntered to her writing desk, sat down on the stool, and lit the candle. She then pulled open the bottom drawer and removed an object wrapped in silk cloth, placed it on the desktop, and removed the covering. The naked skull stared at her, empty eye sockets dark and unseeing. As Satomi waited, they flickered to life, lit with baleful purple glow that threw eerie shadows over the rice paper walls. Satomi lowered her head in a bow.
"Everything is going to plan, Master," she said in a low murmur. "Yaburama should have killed the boy by now and taken the scroll. The priest will tell the survivors where the Steel Feather Temple is located, and we will simply follow them until they reach it. Then the second piece will be yours as well."
The flames in the skull's eye sockets pulsed, and a raspy whisper emerged between its grinning yellow teeth.
"I fear you may have underestimated the Kage Demon Slayer, Lady Satomi,"
it breathed.
"Yaburama is one of Chikoku's strongest oni, which is why I summoned him for you. But Hakaimono is a true monster. If he makes an appearance, if Yaburama cannot kill the boy quickly enough, then you might have another problem on your hands."
"You needn't worry, Master," Satomi smiled. "Everything is under control. Soon you will have the last two pieces of the Dragon's Prayer. We will summon the beast, and you will rule this country as you were meant to."
"And you will not turn on me, as you did everyone before you."
"Of course not, Master."
Satomi put her hand to her chest, sounding horrified.
"I am your loyal servant. Everything I do for your glorious return."
The light in the skull's eyes faded, becoming faint pinpricks against the black.
"Be sure that you remember who your master is, Lady Satomi,"
the voice rasped, growing fainter with the light.
"You are a talented blood witch, but as replaceable as any mortal. And I have an army of yokai and demons who will answer my call. Do not disappoint me. I will await word of your success."
Satomi gave a smile and a small bow. And when she raised her head, the light in the skull's eyes had gone out, and she was alone. As the glow faded and darkness returned, Satomi's smile faded, replaced with trembling anger.
"You think you are so clever, Master,"
she whispered to the skull.
"But only a mortal soul can summon the dragon. And your army of demons cannot call the harbinger for you. When the time comes to speak the wish, it will not be for your glorious return. I can promise you that."
Smiling again, she rose from the desk, turned around,
and came face to face with her maid.
You?
An annoyed frown instantly darkened her face. She tried to remember the name of this newest girl, and failed.
I didn't call for you. What are you doing here, you worthless thing?
The girl's eyes lifted to meet her own, flashing gold in the darkness, right before she shoved the blade of a sword through Lady Satomi's chest. Satomi's mouth gaped. Stunned, she gazed down at the shining length of steel in her breast, at the blood beginning to well around the edges. A thread of crimson ran from her lips, trickling down her neck, and she raised her eyes to her maid's face. The corner of the girl's mouth pulled into a smirk. There was a soundless explosion of white smoke, and when it cleared, a man stood before her, his blade still sunk into her middle. He was beautiful, his long hair the brightest silver, like polished metal, his eyes a lazy gold. "Good night, Lady Satomi," the beautiful stranger said, his voice low and cool. "I believe you've done enough for one era."
"You!"
Satomi gasped, finally recognizing him.
"You're..."
He pulled out the sword and beheaded her in one smooth, blinding motion. Blood spattered the wall and the cluster of folded cranes on the desk, and Satomi's head struck the floor with a muffled thump. Her last expression, as the skull rolled slowly across the boards, was one of shock. Standing in the slain woman's bedroom, feeling the cold eyes of the skull on his back, the stranger smiled. "I'm afraid I can't allow the boy to die just yet," he murmured, as the blood from Satomi's corpse spread across the floor, seeping into the cracks. "And the little half-fox is interesting. I wonder if she'll be strong enough to bring the Demon Slayer back." He chuckled to himself in amusement. "Hakaimono might yet meet his match in this game. I suppose we'll have to wait and see what she does."
"Master?"
Seigetsu glanced down as a small yokai, a child-sized figure with a single enormous eye in the center of his face, crept into the room. Gazing down at the headless corpse, it wrinkled its nose, then looked up at him.
"The guards are coming closer, Master. We should flee while we can."
"Go then," Seigetsu told it. "Do not wait for me. I will join you when I am done." The small yokai bowed low and scuttled off, vanishing out the door, and Seigetsu was alone. His gaze moved to one corner of the room, to the full-length mirror and the ghostly figure of a girl, hovering before it. One silver brow arched, and his lips curled in a slow smile.
"Satomi is dead," he told the ghost, who watched him with large, pale eyes. "If you are lingering here for vengeance, you can move on. My task is done."
He flicked blood from his blade, sheathed it and turned away.
"Whoever you were," he said, walking to the door, "I hope you find peace. Sayonara."
His lean form swept through the doorframe, onto the outside veranda, and disappeared from view. The ghost of Suki shimmered, becoming a ball of softly glowing light. For a moment, it hesitated, floating over the floor in the shocked, bloody head of Lady Satomi, casting her features in a pale glow. Then it rose into the air and flew quickly out the door, following the beautiful man down the veranda, and both vanished into the night.
This is Emily Wuzeller. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Shadow of the Fox by Julie Kagawa, presented by Harlequin Teen and Harper Audio. This program was produced by John Marshall Media. Executive producer Jennifer Lopes. Text copyright 2018 by Julie Kagawa. Production copyright 2018 by Harlequin Enterprises Limited. Used under license with Harlequin Books SA. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.